Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 13th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
I'd like to welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time tonight. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief to kind of set the tone for the program tonight. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like to read the full version of these 9 principles, you can find them at our website, and that's simply metaphysicalhumanism.org. So, all right.
Well,
so,
if I can, may I start the show off tonight, please?
Go ahead.
By saying happy birthday, Dr. Doug Kelly.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Vicki. Appreciate it.
You know, it's a page turner, and every birthday is, and if I can just make this suggestion, I've been doing it for a long time, but on your birthday, you project for all the things in a visualization that you would like to have for the coming year. And the 52 days after the birthday, as cycles go, is a great time for PR. Just
sort of
throw that in there. Yep.
PR,
Public relations, anything that you want to take to the world, that's your best time.
Well, gosh, what do I want to take to the world other than what I've been doing for the last decades?
Well, I'm just saying, if there's specific things, a visualization, and there's 752 day cycles in a year, according to H. Spencer Lewis, and I have really found it fascinating how these cycles kind of work. So we each have our rhythms, so to speak. There's 7 days in a year. And I was born on a Tuesday, so according to cycles, that's my Sunday. And there's good days throughout the week for me to do things. And, you know, be darned if Wednesday is always a good Monday for me. You know, it's just always worked that way. People have Monday, Tuesday, and they're all off in the week, and I'm kind of, oh, can't we just check out? But by Wednesday, I'm just ready to go. Mm-hmm. So it's just very interesting, the cycles within cycles within cycles. And for you, it's a big page turner today.
Yeah, 60 years old, wondering how I ever got to 60. It wasn't very long ago. I was just in my 30s, you know, and then my 40s and even my 20s. So I really don't know how I got here. What did I do? Sleep through this whole thing?
Yeah.
Anyway, but it's
I call it time evaporates. And there's no question that as we get older, time warps. And I think that's because when we're younger, there's a different kind of rhythm and scheduling to our lives, you know, biologically as well as how we conduct our lives. But as we get older, that starts to shift and we don't have the same connection, you know, to time that we used to. So it just kind of slips away. I know my granddaughter just turned 11 and I'm going, well, it's like 11 years just evaporated, you know? It's like, where did it go? Mm-hmm. So it's this is when I think we start to look at time differently. And I think that there are these pivotal moments when, you know, I'm 3.5 years into my 60s now, and it's like we're on a clock, and time has a different variable. We have a different perspective of it, different appreciation of it, but there's also an urgency, I think, that comes with getting older. It's like, get it done, you know? We want to get more things done. So, and of course, there's the other realities of getting old, too, like the body doesn't work as well as it used to.
Yeah, the aches, the pains, and all that stuff, you know?
I'm seeing
you were
things
born on...
Sorry?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just saying, Michael put it in the chat there, he was born on a Tuesday as well. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. So if you kind of look back or look at your weeks and how it goes and where your energy levels are, it might fall into place for you as well. Dr. Kelly, you put in there that Michael was born at 11:52 p.m. Mm-hmm. And not only is that important in astrology, but that would be important, let's say, if you pick the exact moment in time to do that meditation on your birthday, it has that much more emphasis or oomph, if you will, like a full moon. So,
well, I was born at 3:32 in the afternoon Mountain Time. Same for Michael, Mountain Time. And I was born on Friday the 13th, which...
Yeah.
Which took all the good luck out of that day, and, you know, for everybody.
Well,
sorry.
So Friday would be your Sunday.
Friday
at
would
least
be my
according,
Sunday.
According to H. Spencer Lewis, that's whatever day you're born on is essentially your Sunday, and that's when you say you're on a day 1, 2, 3, 4, so on throughout the day of 7, and how each of those days has its own influence for you, numerically, mathematically, cosmically. And it's really very fascinating how the sevens work in his approach to cycles of life. And if anybody is interested, it's now available on Amazon, last time I checked. I have had my copy of the Cycles of Life since 1978. And so I've had a good amount of time to go through it and, you know, calculate and see where the 52 days prior to the birthday is what we call the devolution. It's a winding down time. Not a good time to make big decisions, not a good time to make big trips, not a good time to start new projects unless they can be in the detail carrying over to until after the birthday. Now, I had 3 children, 2 of whom were born in February, 1 in March. So you can imagine my January, like throughout Christmas and January, they're all in this hypersensitive time, very emotional, touchy. Oh, and I would just count the days until the devolutions passed. But it explains a lot. There's do's and don'ts and what to be aware of, you know, in certain times of the year. I find it just fascinating. And very often watching people in life, and I'd say, yeah, I try not to make really big decisions, you know, in the days leading up to my birthday. However, I have found that in the pre-planning, the cycle leading up to my devolution is times where I've moved. And any time I've moved in a September, I've ended up living in that place for several years. Interesting. Other places have been other kinds of temporary. You know, like if you move in a May, you're not going to be there long. When I moved into this place 3.5 years ago, it was a September. So it was kind of crazy.
Been there 3.5 years?
I know.
Time flies, I'm telling you.
Well, so. coming up in April, 8 years with IMHS. So I'm going to talk about time evaporating.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. Fast.
Well,
all right.
Anyway,
let's pull some cards.
Well, I was going to ask Michael if this is all right with you, Dr. Kelly, to pull a card for you.
Oh, sure. I've all got right. everything to live for. Nothing to hide.
We'll see.
All you know, there's right. a few people in the chat saying they're Dr. Edwards coming up on 60, Dr. Shirley's coming up on 60. Boy, there's a lot of people in those numbers. It's pretty fun.
Heck, sometimes I feel like I'm going to be 60 next year, too. But
that put me way old.
Whoa.
So I pulled the number 26 energy signature.
Huh.
Good one.
Let's see. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increasing awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self, review of the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
That's a great card.
It is.
It is. Card of reflection on your birthday.
Pardon?
I said a card of reflection on your birthday.
Oh, yeah, they all are. Yeah. I mean, energy signatures was a great discovery. We talked about that in the course before in the IMHS curriculum about energy signatures, and it explains so much. It explains why people are together. It explains why people have friendships. It explains why some friendships are healthy. It explains why some are dysfunctional. And, you know, it's all based on like attracts like. And so it's a fascinating topic for understanding the dynamics of relationships. And when we change, when we grow, when we learn, when we evolve, our energy signature changes, and therefore we attract different, different types of people, and we repel perhaps the ones that we had previously attracted. That's why some, you know, you'll lose friends, they'll just, you know, you fade away, you go different directions, and because people change. All right, let's do another card.
Let's do another card, shall we? I am pulling Think for Yourself. Number 22, Think for Yourself. You know, in keeping to just along the line, Dr. Jean was saying energy signature information explained a lot in my life. Yes, we can all relate to that, Jean. Yeah. The thinking for yourself, and that is your own energy signature. If you're not thinking for yourself, you're not, you know, your own frequency, your own natural frequency, I think, the one that you're born with, is altered. So this just makes sense to me. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. And I think that that's essentially what we all want, is to be in our own frequency. And we're all going to adapt and adjust, you know, to coexist with others. But I think it is, you know, we can talk it in one way of them esteem versus self-esteem, but how our energies shift when we're coexisting, but to always stay true in your own frequency, thinking for yourself.
And that's another powerful topic. You know, and so many people don't think for themselves. There was a time in my life when I thought I did think for myself, but it was only thinking for myself within the parameters of religion in my case, you know, where somebody else had done some thinking and we all just bought into it. Of course, you know, I was reared that way. I was brought up that way. And then it just didn't work anymore. So I stopped buying into it and I thought for myself and that's why I'm here. It's why I've done all this. You know, it's because it's time that we stop allowing these previous leaders of all kinds to just think for the group. You know, I mean, we have names for that. We call them sheeple, people who are just follow others. You know, obviously we have to work together and we need to decide on healthy concepts in which to guide our lives and our government, you know, and everything, our social institutions and all that. And that's great and that's fine as long as they're healthy. But if you, this is my advice to you, if you're still under the thumb of somebody else's religious thinking or political thinking or whatever thinking, it's time for you to walk your own path. It's time for you to really analyze and explore those different beliefs, those core values, and adjust them as necessary.
Well, Dr. Fran has pulled a card for you as a gift. She said, here's a birthday card for you, Dr.
Okay.
Kelly. Number 25, the power of belief. You know, and just in keeping with what you're talking about, belief's the most powerful force in the universe. Mm-hmm. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. Just in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's a great card, too. I mean, they're all great cards, but power of belief. Again, it goes right along with what we've already been talking about. Energy signatures, thinking for yourself. Power of belief is what you believe about yourself, what you believe about others. I can't tell you how many students we've had come through the school in the last 8 years, 9 years almost. Okay, it's almost been nine. In April, it'll be nine. And, you know, I get tidbits. I get glimpses inside students. And I don't, you know, it's not something that I'm not saying this because I judge them or because I think it's dumb or stupid or anything. It gives me glimpses into human nature and glimpses into me as well, because there were times in my life where I was not confident, where I was worried, will I make it? Will I be able to do this? Will I be able to pass this assignment or this exam or whatever? And people are people. We all have these fears. Most of them are irrational in nature. But we have these fears, these things that tend to hold us back until we realize that they don't really have any teeth. They only have the teeth we give them. So if you're afraid of something, even if you're a student who's afraid to continue on because you're not sure you're going to make it, you'll do fine. You know, fear only has the teeth that you give it. So stop fearing and start believing in yourself and do your best. That's all I ever want. You know, my dad always told me that, and I think that was worthy of repeating, is that he always told me, I want you to do your best. And this was within the context of in school. He says, if your best is C's and D's, then that's fine. That's your best. If your best is A's and B's, that's what I want. Whatever your best is. And I think that's excellent advice. And so I pass it along to people. Whatever, give me your best. Show me what you got, but give me your best. That's all I can ask for. That's all I want out of people is just give me your best. And, you know, and that means believing in yourself. That means believing in doing the right thing, doing no harm, doing right, but doing right for you too. So don't hold yourself back.
Thanks. I was really lousy. I was lousy in math.
So. Me too for a long time.
Anyway, let's, you know, William, just a little while ago in the chat said when we're ready to start pulling cards, he would like one. And so I'm going to do that right now. And if anyone else would like a card, please put your name in the chat. Congratulations to Dr. Angie for becoming a grandma today on your birthday,
really?
Dr. Kelly.
Oh, really? Well, congratulations, Dr. Angie.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about it there in the chat, and his name is William. And I'm going to pull for a different William right now. Okay. That's a little interesting thing. Okay, William, for you, 15, in the existential suit, which is belief system and knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. So that's a little message there for you, William. Now, Michael, if you're ready, I hope you can relate to that in some way, Dr. William. But Dr. Shirley, I think, is up next, as we got names coming up in the chat, so let's go.
I think you're right about that. And for Dr. Shirley, I pulled number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I like it. I think it's a great one. So, Dr. Angie, you are up next. Pay it forward. We know you do, but this is just that little reminder sometimes. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Of course, you know that today. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now? Now, again, we know you do that, but this is just saying, just a little reminder, what can I do? So we all need that from time to time. Sherry is up next, Michael.
And for Sherry, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Well, now, this is kind of crazy because I just pulled a card for Jennifer, and it's positive consciousness. I kid you not. So, Jennifer, I hope you were listening to that, but I am going to, for the sake of, let's see what else is under there. Number two, esteem and validation comes up. So, and by the way, thank you for the feedback, William. He said he can relate, and it's right on course for him. So thanks for that feedback. And that card. So esteem and validation is self-esteem, first of all, is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations. So high self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Remember that. So self-validation is the highest regard that you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. So that, combined with positive consciousness, that's a pretty empowering moment for you, being, from the universe, Jennifer. That's a big one. Yeah, that's great. Dr. Frank, nice to have you here. Michael, have you got a card for Dr. Frank?
Absolutely. And for Dr. Frank, I pulled wild card number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others. You know,
and that could be even something really small that you came across in your day today, where it just kind of, you know, got you. This is just that reminder. It doesn't mean that you overall are that way. It can just mean something that you encountered. Just clarifying that for a minute. So speaking of the wild cards, Dr. Edward, I have wild card number one, paradox, for you. This is a really interesting card. So I hope you pay close attention. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. So, this may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered. Ooh. It always kind of, you know, I get a tingle with that card, you know, because it's a puzzle. It makes you look a little harder and deeper.
Good.
Now, Fran is up next, Michael. Fran also gave us a card for the room, but I'll read that maybe when you're done, Michael. So this one's for you, Fran.
All right. And for Fran, I pulled number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
I like it. Now, the reason I was kind of hoping to wait until after is to give a little explanation for the card that Fran chose for all of us in the room today, number 8. Now, before the program, as a little experiment, Michael and I were picking out a couple of cards, and Michael picked this card. So, balance and order. And so, it's kind of like a, you know, there is definitely an energy speaking out here. So with this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. Well, I just find that really interesting, a message, you know?
Good.
Got it before the program, and that's the one Fran picks for the room.
It's a great card.
It is. Did I miss anyone here, Michael? I've been madly writing names, but...
No, I don't think that we did. I'm just going to take another quick look myself, but I think we got everybody.
So if anybody's come in late in the chat or you still think that you'd like a card, please put your name in there, and we'll certainly do that before the end of the program. We got new people joining in. So anyway, I think that really from the onset of the program tonight, it's summing up to, you know, we're all changing and growing and there's always little reminders of things. And we especially feel that when on days like a birthday, you know, or in the case that Dr. Angie's grandchild is being born, you know. And life happens in layers. It's never but one event. You know, we remember all the layers of what goes on in that day or around that time period. You know, I hear a piece of music and it takes me back to 1973, and right away I'm sitting thinking, oh, high school. Oh, yeah, I knew this one, that one. It triggers the mind, you know, to start thinking of all the other things. Because, again, life is not one linear perspective. It's layered with all these different aspects of consciousness. So I think that generally when we pick these cards out, too, it's tapping onto little parts of ourselves to stay awake and be reminded and live more in who we are.
Good.
Those
points.
Are my thoughts.
Those are good thoughts. So we've covered a lot of thoughts tonight, a lot of cards and nuggets, and that's the beauty of these is, you know, honestly, folks, all these different thoughts and concepts help people to live better, happier, more successful lives, have better, more successful relationships. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, we do it every week. I mean, we do this and we teach it all the time. And yet, these are the things that will save civilization. You know, not fighting. That's the thing, right? You know, you don't want to kill each other. We don't ever do it. And if we learn how to treat people properly, if we learn how to respect one another, if we learn how to just get along, that's the best thing for civilization, isn't it? And, you know, where else are you seeing this? You know, I mean, you're seeing it here and there, but the major institutions on this planet are not preaching do no harm and do right. They're not doing it. They're just not. You know, there's a lot of judgmentalism out there and a lot of hatred here and there. So anyway, these are some great things to live by, and we just need the reminders. Most of us know this stuff, but it's sometimes you hear it in a certain way, and it just makes all the difference in the world, and it changes your life. And that's the point of metaphysical humanism. That's what it is. It's living right. It's doing no harm, doing right. It's paying it forward on a day-to-day basis, even in little ways. And that's what we do as metaphysical humanists. And it's so much easier. It's so much less stress. You know, nobody's telling you got to do this or that other than just be nice, right? Do the right thing. So good stuff, folks. All right, so we've covered a lot of things. We're going to wrap things up now for tonight. I appreciate everybody's birthday well wishes. Very nice of you. And wish back the same thing on your important day, whenever that might be, sometime between now and the next year, huh? Anyway, so again, thanks to everybody for listening, for tuning in. We appreciate your time. Thanks to those listening in the archives as well. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and Michael, as always. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.